25, and then we'll go to Exodus chapter number 40. Exodus chapter number 40. While you're turning there, I will say this. I believe it's been a long time since the Lord let me pull scriptures together like this and have them laid out the way he has. And I sure have enjoyed myself studying this, looking at it, how God's poured all this together. And we preached this morning on the thought about making a sanctuary. And we made this statement, said if we have any missions in our church at all, if we have any missions in our sales at all, if we have a passion for missions, we've got to have a sanctuary God's got to dwell in us. I'll say one more time, I believe this depths of my heart, unless the Lord dwells in us, unless we allow his presence and his power to be in us, we won't care a thing about missions. Amen. We won't care if it goes out. We won't care if there's a dollar spent. We won't care anything about it if we don't have the power of God on our lives. I promise you that. And I believe sometimes when we get to the place where missions are not important in our lives, I believe that's what happens. We've allowed, I guess you'd say, our sanctuary to get to a place where God can't dwell in. And when we get there, the missions is not as prevalent and is not as passionate in our heart as it should be. So I will say that. But we preached this morning on making a sanctuary. Or if you will, let me put it this way. And I even on my notes put an or there. I don't normally do that. But getting ready for the power of God. Getting ready for the power of God. I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I am sure looking forward to what's going to happen the upcoming week. By Friday, I hope we're a different church. Amen. I hope we're turned upside down. I hope you're so full of missions, so full of the power of God, you can't stand yourself. Amen. We'll hit two notes on the piano, and boy, you'll just go shouting all over the place. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. But anyway, as we look into this tonight, what we want to look at, we told you this morning how to build the tent, the sanctuary, if you will, how to prepare for the power of God to come. But then tonight, we want to talk about filling the house of God, or filling the sanctuary with the power of God. So we'll give you a few things there. Look with us, Exodus chapter 25. And verse number 8, you're going to have to pray for us tonight. The devil's already trying his best to shut me up, choke me to death. So you're going to have to pray for us tonight. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you will. Excuse me. Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 8. The Bible says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, I'm going to say one more time. I'm glad I've got a Savior who wants to dwell with us. Amen. I thank God for that. What a blessing and what a privilege to have a God that wants to dwell with his people. Amen. Then Exodus chapter number 40. Exodus chapter 40, just a few verses on over, a few pages on over. Find your place, say amen. Exodus chapter number 40. Verse number 33. Last few verses in the book of Exodus. The Bible says, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Notice that statement. So Moses finished the work. Now before I read verse 34, I want to say this. If we take the message that God gave us this morning, and we apply it to our hearts and our lives, and we get to the place where we've done this morning whatever God told us to do this morning, we've got to that place, then we're in the same place where Moses is at right here. We finished the work. You know what Moses has done right here? Moses has finished the tabernacle. He set everything in order. He started all the way from the Holy of Holies. And if you read this, he worked his way out, brought his all the way out, set the laver, set the altar, set the gate, set it all the way out. The Bible says, and Moses finished the work. Well, notice what happens in the next verse. Verse number 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Boy, that's good right there. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost moves in, there's something going to happen. Amen. All right, turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, and we'll read verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Again, as you're turning there, I believe if you study this, I believe we can draw a parallel in this. And we find in verse 2 that this is the same place that Moses would be in. All the work was finished. All the things were done. That was preparation, if you will. They went back to Jerusalem. They tarried there. They stopped there. And then waited on the Lord. They'd done what they're supposed to do there. And they were trying to, if you will, this praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. All these things that I mentioned this morning. They've done all those things. And then we come to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And the Bible says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering. God, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that I have, Lord, to be here tonight amongst your people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity we have to come together in one mind and one accord. Father, we ask you here tonight, Lord, that you'd move in our midst. Father, I claim the blood upon this message tonight. I claim the blood upon this service tonight. And Lord, I ask you, Father, that you'd send your angel, Lord, I pray, dear God, around this place. Lord, I pray, dear God, that the Holy Ghost, Lord, would build a hedge around each and every one of us tonight, around this building. If there be any opposing force, if there be any imps, any demons, any devils, Lord, that might hinder the service tonight. Lord, I pray you'd remove this place. Lord, I pray you'd just kick them out. Oh, God, help us, I pray, to preach as a dying man to a dying people. Lord, I pray your will be done tonight. Lord, I pray you'd move into midst, Father. Lord, I ask you now for fresh oil and fresh unction. Dear God, please anoint my voice that I might be able to lift to the heavens, might be able to preach, thus saith the word of God. Lord, I put myself at thy feet, begging you, God, you'd hide me behind the cross, that I might be able to preach the way you'd see fit. Give me fresh oil, fresh unction, Lord. Whatever's accomplished, Lord, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory for that you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to draw a parallel in this in Acts chapter 2 there and verse number 1, if you will, from Moses there back in chapter number 40 there in the book of Exodus there in the last part. And I love to study about that. I love to study about the tabernacle. And when Moses got everything lined up and set up and everything, all the way from the pins that held the walls into the ground, all the way to the Ark of the Covenant, back in the Holy of Holies place there. Man, I'm telling you, it looked good. He had it set just right. But I'm going to be honest with you, that tin and all those coverings and all that beauty and all that gold and all that brass in the tabernacle there, boy, it looked good. But just by itself, it was absolutely nothing. Without the power of God upon it, it was nothing, okay? Had we not read that verse there in Exodus chapter 40 there, where the Bible talks about there that the glory had filled the tabernacle and the glory had come down. I say to you tonight that thing would have been nothing more than a tent. It would be nothing more than cloth. It would be nothing more than gold and silver and brass. That's all it would be. It would be as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 there. So I say to you again tonight, I believe we need the power of God. Amen. I believe we need the power of God on our lives. And when we come here in Acts chapter number 2 there, we find that they've done the same thing. Can I say this to you tonight? They went back to the upper room there. They went back and they began to dwell in the temple. They went back and they began to worship. They began to praise. They began to bless God. They began to pray with supplication. All these things that I mentioned to you this morning, they began to do, and they began to tarry and to continue in these things. But I want to say to you tonight, I believe this from the depths of my heart, had the Holy Ghost not come by, had the Holy Ghost not moved in the upper room right there, there would have been no missions.
There would have been no missions. Did you get that? Evidently, that went right over your head. Nobody got that. There would be no missions. Amen. If the power of God didn't come, there would have been no church. I find in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 there, I believe this is the organization of the church. I believe this is the empowering of the church. If you remember back in the Lord's Supper there, that was Him forming the church in the beginning of the church. But when you come to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1, you find the empowering of the church. I'm going to say this to you tonight, church. Without the power of God upon us, we're nothing more than people. We're nothing more than just individuals is all we are. Unless the power of God comes. Unless we have the power of God on Pinnacle Baptist Church, we are nothing, okay? We can do nothing within ourselves. It takes the power of God and it takes the Holy Ghost of God to be able to do anything. You agree with me? Say amen. Amen. I believe tonight, though, as we looked this morning about all these things, and I want to bring ourselves to this place, and I hope in my prayer to God is this, that as you came to the altar this morning, or as you prayed this morning, when you left this morning, or even between the services until now, my prayer to God is that you got your place, you got your sanctuary ready. You were excited about coming back to the house of God tonight to see that God, the power of God, would fill the sanctuary of your heart. And I hope you've got to that place and is in the same place that Moses was in and is the same place where these disciples were in the upper room there, sitting there awaiting on the power of God. Because I don't know about you, but I got this evening. I jumped back into this for about an hour this evening and began to study. And the thought came to me, boy, when we come back to the house of God tonight, I hope we're just sitting here ready. I hope we're just sitting here chomping at the bits. I hope we're so excited. We're bouncing in our pews, waiting to see if the power of God is going to come. You say, preacher, you've gone stone crazy. What's the matter with you? You've gone stone crazy. I don't believe so, amen. I believe I'm right on target because I've got an excitement. I want to see what God's going to do. Amen. In our church, I want to see what God's going to do in my life. I want to see what God's going to do in your life. And I believe that's where we should be. We should get to the place that we've prepared and we're sitting there waiting on the Lord, amen. Would you agree with me there? Say amen. I hope my prayer to God is every one of us in here tonight is in that place. I understand there may be some that's missing tonight, and if we're doing sickness and different reasons, and I understand that, but I hope they are too, amen. I hope they're to that same place. If they are, let me say it this way, if they are ready, and if we are ready for the power of God, or ready for that to happen, what I want to do tonight is I want to show you what's fixing to happen. I believe, I don't know, to be honest with you, church, tonight, I don't know that I can portray this to you the way that God's given it to me. I don't know that I can show you the picture that God has put in my heart and put in my mind and a picture that God has showed. I hope I can paint it as vivid as God has given it to me, but I don't know that I can, so I want you to really pay attention and really dig into what it would look like when the power of God begins to fall. Look with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We find here the Bible says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, again, they're prepared. They're sitting there waiting. And now this Pentecost, I ain't got time to go into it. You can study it when you go home. You go back and you study the feast back in the book of Leviticus over there. Compare it with this, and it's right on time. Can I say that one more time? It's right on time. Amen. He come exactly when he was supposed to. Amen. The Holy Ghost come back right when he was supposed to. And I say glory to God for that. Amen. I don't have a God that just happenstance. Amen. I've got a God that's got things on time, and he's got it right. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. But he says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says this, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, I say to you again tonight, I hope we're in one accord in one place. We've all joined together tonight. We've all come together in the house of God tonight. We're in the same place. But I hope we're all in the same mind. I know, just as sure as I'm standing right here, we ain't that way on every service. Somebody say amen right there. Because we'll come in and we're more worried about things out there than we are in here. We'll come in, we're more worried about what's going to happen tomorrow on the job than we are what's in here, what God's going to do. I want to ask you a question. Which is more important, what's going to happen on our job tomorrow or the almighty, all-righteous, holy God moving within our lives? Amen. I'm getting a better picture of that every day. Every time I study this, I'm getting a bigger picture. When the God of heaven comes down in the midst. Amen. Hey, everybody's worried about what's going over yonder in Iran. Just let it go. God's got it under control. Amen. God's got it under control over there. We're worried about what's going to happen on the other side. Just let God take care of it. Amen. If we'll just get to the place in our heart, we just want to see the power of God move through our lives. Everything else take care of itself. Amen. So let's get together in one place. We're already there. Let's get together in one mind, one accord, and just say, God, I want to see you fill the temple. I want to see you fill the sanctuary of my heart. I want to see you fill the sanctuary of everybody else's heart. I want to see you move. That's the main thought and the main thing that we need to have this week. And you say, preacher, this is a missions revival. Yep, sure is. But don't you remember the statement I made a while ago? This morning too, I said, until we have the power of God filling our lives and filling our sanctuary, we'll never see missions. We'll never see it happen. So I'm more interested in the power of God filling our lives than I am missions right now. I'm more interested in God moving in each one of us than I am in missions. Amen. So with that thought, what's going to happen next, preacher? Boy, it's going to get good, okay? If we're all doing this, it's going to get good. That's the only thing I can tell you. Notice verse number two in chapter 2. Bible says here, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. First thing that's going to happen, get ready now. First thing that's going to happen, we're going to hear sounds from heaven. Amen. We're going to hear sounds from heaven like you ain't never heard in your life. We're going to hear things from God like you've never heard in your life. Yeah, I believe you'll agree with me right here as we look in this scripture. I believe this is something that's just unordinary. They've never seen this before. When you go back and you study this, I'm not going to just exactly nail down, but I believe back there where Moses crossed the Red Sea and maybe where Joshua crossed over there, the Jordan River there, and the winds rolled back the waters there and they stopped. Boy, that's a great happening, was it not? I mean, we could go over it. I could give you example after example all the way through the old Bible there of how God has moved and the power of God has been great. But we come here in the scriptures now. Listen to me. This is after the 400 silent years. God hasn't spoke there. Jesus steps out on the scene. But after John the Baptist there, and Jesus goes to Calvary, dies on the cross, raises again the third day. But now we see the power of the Holy Ghost coming back to the earth. Hey, that's a happening. Amen. That's something that's special. Amen. That's something that's odd. That's something that's never happened. And the sound of a rushing mighty wind coming in this place, I'm telling you, it's something. They'll stand back with their mouth hung open and say, wow, what God's done. I'm going to get ahead of myself best I can do. Chapter number 2 there, I believe it is about verse 34, the Bible says this, and everybody feared God. Everybody had a fear all around that place. They had a fear. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had come in the midst and the power of God was filling the place. We find sounds from heaven. Preacher, how's that going to sound? Well, I believe, first of all, it's going to be quick. Bible says, and suddenly. Did you get that? Anybody ever seen a sudden wind? I've seen one come up every now and then, but most of the time you'll see just a little breeze. And you see it'll get a little stronger and a little stronger and a little stronger. And then all of a sudden, boy, it'll blow through. And I'm telling you, it's strong blowing through sometimes. That ain't the way this one was. I mean, this one was sudden, just bam, just like that. They're sitting there. They're in prayer. They're in supplication. They're sitting there in the upper room together. And boy, all of a sudden, boom, the doors blow open. I believe the Bible don't say that, but I believe that's good countryology right there, okay? We'll do a little deductive reasoning right there. A rushing mighty wind like this, I believe it blowed the doors open. Might even blow the windows out, amen? I don't know. But I'll guarantee you this, it was sudden and they knowed it was there. They know the presence of God was there. They know the presence of God was in the midst. I've been to services where if the power of God moved in, some folks have said, boy, I didn't get nothing out of that service. Huh? I've been to some who looked back at their face and could tell God was in the midst, but they didn't even realize it. Why? What happened, preacher? Their sanctuary was not ready to be filled by the power of God. But there'd be some more over here, over there. There'd be some more. That boy, you could tell they got filled with the power of God. And God moved on their lives. And God moved in. I say to you this week, you can sit there dead if you want to and not be filled with the power of God. But I want to be filled with the power of God. Amen. I want to see His presence moving amongst us. I want to see God come and God work. Amen. Sound of a rushing mighty wind. Boy, they began to hear sounds from heaven. And those sounds, what might, listen, it wasn't that still small voice that Elijah heard up there on the mountain. Oh no, it was a rushing mighty wind. I read that scripture there and it says, the sound as a rushing mighty wind. That's strong. A mighty wind is a powerful wind. It's a wind that is violent, if you will. It's a wind that comes through with force. It's a wind that comes through with just, I guess you'd say, strong and intense there. I can't even describe it to you what it was like when they were sitting there. And they're just sitting there all of a sudden, and boom, it come through. We're sitting here this evening. I look out there and I can tell just by the sound, just by looking on your faces, this thing going through your head, I like it. But what if we just sitting here and all of a sudden the door blew through? I wish I'd told Chad or somebody just to flam the door open in there. Kaboom! And it blowed through, I'm telling you. It could happen, amen. But that's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting the power of God to be so real that the doors would blow open. That sound to come through. I want to hear sounds from heaven, amen. And when we get our sanctuary right, and we get to the place where the house of God of our heart can be filled, then we'll see that sound as a rushing mighty wind come through. Oh, I can't wait to hear the sounds from heaven, amen. Can't wait to hear that. Listen, it's a rushing mighty wind. It's powerful. Look at verse number 2 again. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It filled all the house. Now, I notice the word it. This is kind of odd to me, it here. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. And when you're talking about the Holy Ghost, very few times when you read in the scriptures do you find it referring to as an it. It'll be a person. You can study that in there. It'll be a person because He is a person. Somebody say amen right there. So I don't necessarily believe that He was talking about the Holy Ghost here. I believe He was talking about the sound as a rushing mighty wind. I believe it was just the beginnings. My mind, thank you, Lord, for the thought. My mind went back to Moses over there when he wanted to see God. And God said, nope, you can't see me. He said, but I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock over here. And He said, I'll put my hand across the cleft of the rock. And He said, when I blow by, you can see my hinder parts. So what we're seeing right here in this is just the hinder parts. Maybe it's just the beginnings, amen? But what the Bible says here is it filled the house. I looked at that word filled. I looked it up. And that word filled means to fill thoroughly. It's as if coming and running over, okay? You can't get another drop in it, amen? You take a cup and you fill it up with water and you can't get another drop in it. That's as full as it is. Every corner of that house, every place that they went, it filled it up. You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm still talking about filling your heart. Listen to me close here. I'm not interested in having my heart halfway filled. I'm interested in God moving in every single aspect of my heart, every single aspect of my life, every single aspect of my being. That's what we're interested in, is God filling that part. It filled the house, not just a corner. Not just a corner. I said this morning, and I'll say it again because I know everybody grieving right here, even your closets. Even your closets where you open the door and everything falls out on top of you. Somebody say amen right there. I'm talking about even those, amen, letting the power of God and that rushing mighty wind even blow through that closet door and tear out everything that's in there and fill even the closets. I mean even the crawl spaces. I'm talking about even the attics. I'm talking about every single point, every single part of our lives letting the Holy Ghost blow through and feel every bit of it. Amen. That's just, listen, that's just the winds. We ain't talking about the Holy Ghost yet. I read this scripture, and again, I'm going to get ahead of myself best I can do, okay? But jump over there, verse 4 with me, just real quickly. We'll get there in just a minute. But I want to read this. The Bible says this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the first time in this scripture that the Holy Ghost is mentioned. We go through verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. All the happenings, all the stuff that's going on. And this is the first time that he says they filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what I think verses 2 and 3, 1, 2 and 3 is? I think that's just the beginnings of it. He's just so big. That's just the train of his temple, the train of him, if you will. That's just his beginning is who that is. But he says here in this scripture, he said it filled all the house. Notice this, where they were sitting. Read with me there, verse 2. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. You know what's happening right here? They're waiting on the Lord. Can I say this to you now? Read that with me again. Just follow along with me. I'm going to try to hurry here. It filled the house where they were sitting. Well, the reason they're sitting there, they're waiting on the Lord. They're waiting on Him to come. It didn't, listen, it's filled the place where they were sitting there waiting. I got a picture as I look back through this evening of us coming to the house of God tonight. And every one of us sitting together in our places. We're Baptists. You're sitting in the same place you did last Sunday. You're sitting in the same place you did this morning. Amen. You're sitting in the same place you did 2 years ago. Everybody say amen right there. Are we not sitting in the same place? Amen. But if we're sitting there waiting on the Lord, waiting with that anticipation of the power of God getting ready to blow through, and that's exactly where it came to. That's exactly where it was filled. The place where they sit. I say one more time, I left you with this morning. I don't read nowhere in this scripture right here, these four verses I read to you, I don't read nowhere where he said it filled the temple. I don't read nowhere where he said anything about the temple of Jerusalem in these verses right here. When the power of God came down, it came to the place where people were sitting there waiting on the power of God, wanting the power of God, expecting the power of God. Church, that's where we've got to be. We've got to get our sanctuary ready in our heart and get to the place where we're sitting there waiting on the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to move. I want the power of God. I want you to move in. I want you to fill my heart. Fill me. It's the place where we sit and wait upon Him. The sounds of the rushing mighty winds, them sounds from heaven. Boy, they're good, ain't they? And they'll fill every part of your heart. They'll fill every part of your life. But notice with me, that's the hearing. That's the hearing of it. Notice with me, if you will, verse number 3. The Bible says this, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Notice this, and there appeared. Not only did he come to them in a sound as a rushing mighty wind, but he appeared unto them eyesight. In other words, they saw what happened. Now, I'm going to be totally honest with you right here. I've studied this many times, and I cannot get in my mind a clear vision of what happened right here. I dug in last night, and I dug in this evening again, just trying to get a picture in my mind of what these cloven tongues of fire look like and what it really looked like to sit there in the upper room in Pentecost. I can't get around it. I read a lot of different commentaries, and some of them's crazier than the bed bugs. Only thing I know, they went to going back to the other versions, and I kicked them out the door in a hurry. Okay, but listen, I can't get a picture in my mind. But I'll say this: it was something to behold. It said it appeared unto them as cloven tongues of fire. I'm telling you, it was something to see. The power of God, the Holy Ghost coming down in the form of these cloven tongues. It was something to see. Amen. It was something to see. Can you stop just for a minute and think about the greatest service you've ever in? Think about it. The greatest revival or the greatest service that you've ever been in. I myself, I've got some of those in my mind. I've got one in my mind. I may have told you about it. I don't know. We went to the Jubilee down there at Gateway, and man, I've never seen the power of God move in a place like it did. It was unreal. I mean, there's a guy there that was trying to buy some land to build a church on down in Mexico down there, and And his church, or the land there, was getting ready to be bought by a brewery. And boy, they got burdened about that, and they began to gather around the altar and began to pray about it. Next thing I know, they're taking an offering up. And man, they raised almost $40,000 right there in that meeting. And there wasn't all that many people there, I'll be honest with you. There's one lady went out to the car and had just got a life insurance check from where her daddy had passed away, signed the check, and put it in the offering plate. There's another guy over here that pulled a ring off his finger and put it in the offering plate. I don't know what the ring is worth, have no idea. But he put it in the offering plate and give it to the Lord to buy that property. I mean, it's amazing what happened. I can't even explain it to you. I mean, I ain't even touching it. I mean, it was just so wonderful, so great. What happened, preacher? The power of God moved in. Exactly what I'm telling you right here, that can happen this week if we want it. Amen. It can happen today if we want it. If we just sit there, be ready, and just want the power of God, that's when His power will move through. Amen. We'll see. Not only will we hear the sounds from heaven, but we'll see the evidence of the sounds from heaven. Amen. We'll see those cloven tongues of fire and see the power of God upon us. I read this scripture and he says this. Notice with me. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire." It appeared to each one of them. I want to go back again. I'm not talking about Pentecost as a whole. I am in a way, but I'm not in another way. I'm talking about individually, church. Individually, we can have just as much of the power of God as we want. It's up to us this week. Notice with me, if you will. He said, "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." I like that, like as of fire. Boy, that's good, ain't it? That means God moved down. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the thought. I'm reminded of Elijah over there when he came there to Mount Carmel and began to pray. And boy, he looked up 63 words, and I'm telling you, the fire come down. The Bible says this, it licked up the water. Huh? Did you get that? It licked up the water around the altar there, and it even consumed the altar. That sounds to me like a tongue. Sounds to me like pretty well the same thing that happened right here. Amen. But yet it come in and landed upon them, and it sat upon them. Notice with me in that scripture there, it sat upon each one of them. I like that. Did you get that? The Bible says in that verse, "And there appeared unto them like cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them," right on top of each one of them. That's significant. I thought about how that it sat there. I don't know exactly what it looked like, and I say again, I can't picture it in my mind. Maybe it was a fire on top of them, I don't know. Maybe it's a fire around them, I have no idea, and I don't believe the Bible tells. I've studied everything I can find, and I don't believe the Bible tells, so my picture will be just as right as yours, okay? But I believe it was a picture of a tongues of fire there. But I know this, the power of God was there. The Holy Ghost, listen, we're still not even mentioned the Holy Ghost yet. This was just the preeminence of the Holy Ghost. This was just Him coming. Notice with me in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Number one, we'll hear sounds from heaven. Number two, it'll fill your house. Number three, we'll see things appear. We'll see the power of God appear to us. We'll see those cloven tongues of fire that's set upon men. But number four, notice this, we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to notice the difference in these two verses, verse 3 and verse 4. In verse number 3, the Bible says that the cloven tongues of fire came and sat upon them. But then in verse number 4, he says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. There's a difference. If I take this offering plate, and we'll use Brother Jim tonight, and I set this offering plate on top of his head, that's setting upon him. He ain't got much hair, so I ain't messing his hair up. That's the reason I chose him. But I'm setting it up on him, amen? I'm right there with you, brother. But it's not in him. I can't get that offering plate inside of him, and I ain't even going to try. Do you see the difference? Now listen to me. In the Scriptures in the Old Testament, there was many times that God would move, and God would do great miracles through His people. Through prophecies and different men. Gideon's one of them. In the book of Judges, you can go over there and study him. And the Bible says this, that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. But nowhere in the Scriptures in the old Bible will you find that the Spirit of the Lord was in them. You won't find that it was in them. Why, preacher? Because it couldn't be until Christ died on the cross. until Christ rose again the third day. And he's sitting, I'm about to have myself fit, and sitting on the right hand of the Father. They could not receive the Holy Ghost inside them. But now, because this price has been paid, because the sacrifice has been made, and because he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, now not only can the Holy Ghost come upon me, but he lives inside of me. Amen. He lives inside of you. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost there. The Holy Ghost moved in. Amen. Oh, praise God for the day that the Holy Ghost moved in. Amen. You know what happened? The sanctuary's right. It may have got the sanctuary right. The blood is applied and the Holy Ghost was able to move in. Amen. Thank God. That's what happened right here. Can I say this to you tonight? I believe this from the depths of my heart. I believe that we have the Holy Ghost living within us if you're saved by God's grace. I know that the Pentecostals and a lot of the other religions and cults, they take this scripture right here and they pull it out of context. I understand that. And they say that if you don't, you've got to wait a little while before you receive the Holy Ghost. That does not go according to the Word of God, okay? It's not in there. They'll even take these tongues and they twist it around and say you've got to speak in a gibberish and waller around on the floor before you can be saved. That's not according to the Word of God, okay? It's not in there. You study it, okay? But I will say this. I do believe that we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're saved by God's grace, yes, He moves in your heart. Yes, He settles in there. He seals you up, and you are sealed until the day of redemption. I say glory to God for that. But I can be filled more of the Holy Ghost and let Him use me. I want to be so full I'm running over. Amen. I want to be so full I'm running over. Amen. I hope you do too. Listen, we can be filled by Spirit to be able to be used of God. Now, you say, preacher, what do you mean to be used of God? Missions. Missions. Because until we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll never have any missions. We've got to have both. So what happens, preacher, when the power of God moves in? We get filled with the Holy Ghost. Preacher, you filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I hope I get that way. I hope this week God fills me so full I can't stand myself. I believe every one of us, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we're not as full as we should be. Amen. We're not as full as we should be, but we should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now listen, you're saved. If you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. The Holy Ghost moves in there. But I do believe we can be filled more to be able to do more for the Lord. So they're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says this in verse 4 again. And the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them others. Number 5, they began to speak. They began to speak. You let something as big as the power of God move in your heart, and you get your sanctuary right, and I won't have to get up here and beg a testimony out of you. I'm going to be honest. I won't have to get up here and beg you to crawl up there in that choir loft and begin to sing praises to God. People won't have to beg you and ask you who you're trusting in. You get your sanctuary right and you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you get the power of God moving on your life and you'll be a worrying folks to death telling them about Jesus. That's exactly what will happen. But the problem is we've not got to that place sometimes. It's the problem is we ain't got to that level yet. We ain't got to that place. I hope we get there. But I don't know that we've got there, church. I don't sign this preaching to myself. It's already been preached to me. Don't know if we got there yet. But I want to get there. And I hope you do too. They spoke as they were given utterance. Now, boy, this is amazing to me. I love this scripture here. But the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues. Other languages. This has to do with languages. This has nothing to do with somebody going yabba, 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 yabba. Okay? This is another tongue. Read on down through that scripture. And I ain't got time. Wish I had time to read it. But you read the next few verses there. 5 down through about verse 13 there, and it will describe to you what happened. The Bible says, I believe it's verse 5. Let's go ahead and read it. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Did you get that word, under heaven? I read that again this evening, and I thought to myself, that's every language. That's every language that ever has been under heaven. Not just in Jerusalem or not just in Judea, but under heaven. Every language they heard in their own language. Peter began to stand up and preach, and every single one of them heard in their language. I say, wow. Wow, what a blessing. Wow, what? How God? God is the only one that can do that. God's the only one that can move there. I'll give you a little something here to study when you go home, okay? Take this and go back to the Tower of Babel. Because this is the first time in history after the Tower of Babel that languages have been overcome. Go back there. You remember in the Tower of Babel when they went there and they were trying to build up into the heavens there? And what did God do? He confused their languages. And that's where the different languages began. But now we go over here into Acts chapter number 2. And what's the Bible? What's God do here? The power of God. You know what it did? It overcome that sin. It overcome those languages. And everybody heard in those languages. Study that when you go home. There's your gold nugget to study. But I want to say this. This is when the power of God moves in our heart and moves in our lives. That's what happens. It overcomes any obstacle that we could not share the gospel. Listen to me closely here. I'm still talking about missions. When you think about missions, there's all kind of obstacles out there. There's all kind of things that would stop the Word of God from going. And languages is the first one. If you study or listen to any missionary, that's one of the first things they do before they go on the field there. They learn the language. I was trying to think in my mind which missionary was. I was reading their newsletter the other day, and he was talking about how he was in the school learning that language there. Hey, right here in the apostles, amen, God took care of that right there where they were at, amen, and they overcome that. Listen, God will overcome any obstacle in your life that will keep you from spreading the gospel when the power of God moves in. I'm amazed at what all God does in this little church, in these people right here. Let me give you number 6, and I'll move on quickly. Not only did they begin to speak with other tongues, but I'll say this. Peter preached. Peter preached. I find there in chapter number 2, verse number 14, the Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, that's preaching. That's preaching. I like preaching. Anybody like preaching? Somebody say amen. I want more than 2 amens there. I hope I ain't up here just doing this for no reason. No, I'm kidding. I like preaching. You know what happens when the power of God moves in? They'll be preaching. I can guarantee you when the power of God moves in a place, there'll be some preaching going on. Amen. That's what Peter did. Amen. He stood up right there in front of them, told them exactly what had happened. He said, y'all have took and nailed the Son of God to the cross. You've done it. Amen. It was in order exactly the way that the prophecy said it was going to be, and you've done it. Amen. They were pricked in their heart, the Bible says, or over in that scripture there. They were pricked in their heart and realized. But the Bible says this, they believed him. Amen. They believed him. I say to you tonight, there's some preaching going on. And you know what happens when preaching happens? Folks get saved. Notice with me on over in that chapter, verse number 41. Turn with me and I'll give you about 2 more. We'll close. Verse 41, the Bible says this. Then they gladly received his word, talking about Peter when he's preaching. His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about revival, which in this case right here, you can't call it a revival. This is the revival. Why, preacher? Because this is the beginning. This is where the power of God, this is where the Holy Ghost moved in. And when the Holy Ghost moved in, 3,000 souls saved at one time. Boy, I'd like to have been there. Amen. I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have seen that. I'm telling you, that'd been good. Wouldn't you like to see that this week? Wouldn't you like to see about 1,000 get saved this week? Amen, I would. Well, I tell you what, if we get our sanctuaries right, we get ready for the filling of the power of God, we can see it happen. I can promise you that we can see it happen. I believe that. Then also, verse 42, they continued steadfastly. They continued in this. Verse 42 says there, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They just kept on. When you get the power of God filled in your heart, you don't want to quit. You want to continue. There's one thing I've noticed about good services, and when the power of God moves in our heart, moves in our services, nobody wants to leave. You can get up and you can dismiss and go back there and I'll stand at the door and everybody just stand up here talking. Ain't nobody wants to leave. Just the presence is so real and the presence is so good you don't want to go away. Amen. You get one of them services where it's a little bit dead and everybody's out the door like a flood. Gone. Just ready to go to house. Sunday morning 12, time to go. But if you let the presence of God and the power of God move in, everybody just sticks around. It don't matter what time it is. They're going to stick around. Hey, I'm here to tell you, if you're worried more about what time it is when we get out, then you didn't do no good to come. Amen. We're going to stay as long as the Lord will be here. Amen. Oh, listen. I believe they continue steadfastly. Then number 9, fear. Fear came upon every soul. Listen to me tonight. Verse number 43, the Bible says this. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. This verse right here is solemn to me and almost brings me to the same places of fear. Now, listen to me closely. This is something that's never happened before. These people are sitting there in the upper room just like Jesus told them. They're tarrying, they're continuing, they're worshiping, they're praising, they're blessing the Lord, they're praying, they're supplicating. And man, I'm telling you, the sounds from heaven blow through. Rushing mighty wind come in, cloven tongues of fire sat upon them. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost, their whole body filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in tongues of all nations all over the world and began to preach in those tongues. They began to talk in those tongues. Then the next thing you know, there's 3,000 being saved and baptized. You're talking about baptizing on the creek bank. 3,000 souls baptized there. Wow, that's all I can say. What a happening. And if you really think about verse 43, I can understand why it's in there. Because the Bible says, and they feared. They feared. Have you ever been in a service or been in a place where you're afraid to move? The presence of God was so real, you really didn't know what to do. I mean, you're scared to move. I hope I get to that place this week. I hope not only this week, but in the future. It's a reverence. It's a place where we should be scared. I believe in my heart that if we get our sanctuaries right and we get filled with the power of God, we'll get to the place where we're afraid to move on our own. We'll get to the place where we'll be praying every step we take and say, God, where do you want me to go? I want to continue. I want your power to continue on me. Where do you want me to go? That fear will be there. You say, preacher, I don't like fear. I don't until this at time. I like it like this, when the gods are moving and we're afraid to move, afraid we'll miss God. I believe we ought to get to that place. How long has it been since you got to that place? I believe we ought to get there, amen, that we're fearful. We're fearful of what God wants us to do and where He wants us to go. But we're ready to go anytime, anyway. We just want to make sure it's His will. One of the things, and I've said this I know many times, one of the things that I found in my ministry, one of the hardest things that I have, is finding what His will is for a message. This part here, preaching, this is the easy part. I love this part. I'll eat, drop a hat to preach, as they say. I love this part. But finding the message and knowing what God wants you to do, that's a fearful thing. It's the same way in y'all's life. Finding what God really wants you to do and finding every single moment of my life, where, God, do you want me? That's a fearful thing. But if we'll get the power of God in our lives and let Him fill our sanctuary, we can get to that place. We can get there. Amen. I believe that. And then the last thing, I notice in this scripture, he says in verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And so their possessions and goods imparted them to all men as every man had need. I believe they gave of themselves. I preached on this been a long time ago, and I made this statement. I said, the Bible here is not telling you to go home, go and sell everything you've got. But I said, if He did tell you to do that, then what He's saying here is you should. Amen. They gave of what they had. They realized that there's other people around that needed things more than them. We're more interested in what we've got. We're more interested in what we can get. We're more interested in laying things up, being prepared for tomorrow. Well, that's fine. What about somebody that ain't got nothing today? Would our hearts break with them? Does the Bible not say over there,
Jesus said this while he was walking down here. If you give a cup of water in my name, you'll in no wise lose your reward. They gave of themselves what happened here when the power of God filled their sanctuary. Now, I want to leave us like this. I want to bring us back to the missions thought. I love missions, and I believe it's the heartbeat of our church. I really believe that. But I do believe this too, again, until we get filled with the power of God ourselves, one more time, we'll never have the passion that we should have for missions. We'll never see missions work in our lives the way it should. We'll never give the way that we should. So many times, and I've done this, and I'm just being honest with you, church, and this morning, when I said we're going to do it, take our faith promise up next week. We're going to take our faith promise up. And I could tell the look on people's faces, thinking in their minds, thinking about next week, how much we need to give. And I guarantee you, if you're like everybody else, your first thought went back to your finances. Your first thought went back to how much do I make? Your first thought went back to, well, how much is my bill? How much is my car payments? Am I going to have to get rid of my car? Am I going to have to get rid of my house? How much is all that? And you remember what I said now. It's not about all that. I'm not saying anything to do with what you've got. I'm saying pray what God wants to give through you that He won't give to you. If God came to you tomorrow and said, I want you to give $10,000, faith promise, every week. $10,000. Everybody looking at me like, good Lord, short it off. Your skirt's lapped out to death now, ain't you? $10,000 every week, I want you to give that. Now, how many of you in here tonight would believe that God would give you that $10,000 weekly to put an offering plate? I believe He would. If we've got the power of God filling our sanctuary, would have that much faith and have that much belief that He would. You say, preacher, that's stone crazy. I believe God can do it. I'm going to be honest with you right here. You can say what you want to. I believe that if God told us to do that, we might find it on the road, pulling in the parking lot. When you walk out your door, there might be a bag of money laying on the doorstep there. Preacher, it can't happen. There ain't no way that can happen. I found a $100 bill on the side of the road right in front of my house. I helped pay my bill one time. God the glory. He can do it. Amen. But I go back to the statement that I made this morning. It's not just about giving. That's what happened when the power of God moved in. They would give of themselves. They gave. Okay? That's what happened. But until we get filled with the power of God and get in passion for missions and get right with God, get that power right in our heart, none of this other will happen. We'll go through five days of meetings. We'll close and we'll go to house. Not changed a bit. Until we get the power of God in our lives, I believe that. Let's stand your feet tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. No one looking around.